Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished woman from Israel, Davida Ginter. Davida, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Davida is the CEO of Enkindle Global, and she's an author. She's an author of a book titled Burning Out Won't Get You There. So, Davida, let's start with Enkindle Global. Tell me about this venture.
Thank you. Enkindle was born basically out from a need that we have seen around within change makers, leaders, entrepreneurs, social driven entrepreneurs. And we've seen many of them getting stressed out and then burnt out while pursuing their mission. And I thought that this is quite ironic that people who, you know, love their work so much and care about anyone else and, you know, the environment, society, they forget to take care of themselves. People who pursue sustainability forget to sustain themselves. And so we gathered a team, which became Enkindle Global, and we started giving workshops. And from there, it was just a natural journey to step into bigger systems, organizations, institutions, and help them with processes to prevent burnout, but mainly to cultivate well-being, which is, you know, the flip side of the same coin.
Wonderful. So, you know, before I go any further, I'd love to understand from you, how do you define burnout?
Yeah, it's a very important question because sometimes people, you know, just throw the word around without understanding what it really means. But burnout has a very accurate definition by the World Health Organization, actually. And burnout is a chronic, regular work-related stress that has not been successfully managed, which is really interesting because stress itself is not really the problem. We can experience stress and come out stronger from the other side. It could actually push us, you know, forward to pursue a goal. However, when stress is constant, when we feel it every day, when you perceive it as negative, when we don't manage stress well, that's when it becomes anxiety and then burnout, you know, down the road.
And based on all the work you have done, what are some of the signals to watch out for before a burnout in the workplace takes place or in your personal life?
Yeah, so those are signs that we can notice either for ourselves or for our colleagues or employees, which is really important because there's a lot of responsibility and accountability that we can actually employ here. The three main signs are basically, first would be exhaustion. When we see someone or ourselves very tired, and not just, you know, every once in a while, but constantly tired every day, that said something. Because I've interviewed people who told me, we could not figure this out. We slept quite good at night, but we woke up tired every day. And the answer is that this is emotional exhaustion being translated into physical tiredness. The second sign is reduced productivity and self-efficacy, which is basically we see ourselves as not capable of doing things. And then we start to underperform, even if we can actually do this work. But this is how we perceive ourselves. And another sign is that we become way more negative and cynical towards our work, our colleagues, our boss. And again, we can all get like that sometimes, you know, it's random. But if that's a regular thing, that's definitely a red flag that we should notice.
Very interesting. And if someone notices this in oneself or in a colleague, what, in your opinion, should be done? I mean, are these challenges, which is being tired or reduced productivity or negativity and cynicism, is this something that needs professional help or is it something that we can tackle ourselves?
Well, I would say it is really depends on the situation because that's definitely something that we can help ourselves with internal resources or external resources around us. But sometimes when the case is pretty harsh and we are not able to manage that well, it's definitely good to go out and seek professional help, therapy or a consultant, which is really important. But in terms of taking care of ourselves, there are so many things we can do. And I'm not talking just about mindfulness, which is really important, but that's just not the only tool set. We can start by reprioritizing our routines, you know, defining what is important to us, what do we want to stand up for, setting our boundaries. Many people get burnt out because they never set the boundaries and protect their own time and needs and maintain a good balance. I'm not even talking about work-life balance, which is good, but that's not the only balance. A balance could be, for example, if I'm sitting all day long, I want to balance that, you know, with some movement and you know, walk around. Or if I'm working alone, I want to balance that with socializing, some social time and seeing people either at work or outside of work. So it's a lot about, I would say, if there's one umbrella to all those things would be self-inquiry. So really to explore within and see what do I need right now and how do I meet this need, either with myself or with the people around me, or yes, maybe professional help. But first to really explore within.
Wonderful. And, you know, I'm so delighted I'm talking to you about burnout. For a lot of our young viewers and listeners, let me start by asking you, how can I, what are the signals to watch out for to prevent a burnout?
Yeah, so the signals, other than what I've said before, which is the exhaustion and productivity and the, you know, feeling sometimes negative, it's mainly about looking again and explore the root cause. Sometimes you say, okay, we are burnt out or we feel burnt out, but why is that? So I would say it's always good to question the situation and never to assume that what is given to us is the right setting. So burnout could be caused by a set of things. And it's good to ask, do I feel burnt out because I feel that I feel not trusted at work? Or maybe there's something wrong there with communication. Maybe it's the workload. So not the workload itself, but my capacity to meet the demands. So I need to go and ask for support or to have an open conversation with my manager and say, all right, so this is not working. What can we do together to change it?
Right.
And sometimes it is about meaning and fulfillment. People could work and get paid well and everything, but they don't feel aligned with the values of the organization. So after 1, 2, 3 years of working like that, of course they will be burnt out. I know a close friend of mine who has experienced this for almost 10 years.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's really about exploring into the root causes rather than making assumptions.
And you know, David, I've also worked for large companies, experienced burnout, you know, got myself out of it. When you are in middle management, senior management, there are a lot of colleagues to turn to. But when you are at the head of the company, who do you turn to, and how do you determine this? Because your subordinates will not tell you, boss, you're looking too stressed and you know, your productivity is low.
That's a wonderful question, because that's many times where we see burnout too late, right? And I would say that everyone, no matter the role, the position, the level of authority, everyone needs their support system. So if I'm managing an organization now, I have my tribe, let's put it this way. I have colleagues I can turn to even if outside of the organization. I have my support systems. It could be people in similar positions to mine. It could be my mentors. I really believe in having mentors. So, the interesting part is it's about building those support systems over time before hitting the wall. So I want my support system to be there for me once I meet the next challenge.
Okay.
So I would say anyone should work closely on those supporting relationships.
Interesting. And at what stage are you called in as an expert? You and your colleagues, of course.
What was the question again? Sorry.
At, you know, you support a lot of burnout, you know, in organizations. So who calls you in, or at what stage do you get called in?
Yeah, it really differs from one organization to another. I can refer to the last 2 years, because that's a big sign, and it's probably here to stay for a while.
Yeah.
They get called in when the CEO or the HR, and sometimes also mid managers, definitely, they notice that their employees are disengaged and a little more stressed, and they're not sure why, what caused this. So we basically step in to help them identify what's going on and how to work on that. But another way that we work is to actually put a strategy in place. So if I'm talking to the vice president, either of HR, R&D, or the CEO, I would ask them, do you have a strategy for finance and marketing? And say, of course, then what about well-being? And once they understand that people are those who comprise the organization, it's a big aha moment that we need also a strategy for people's well-being.
Very interesting. So this is a very interesting discussion you and I are having on a strategy for well-being. Yes. Can you help me understand the process you follow to develop a strategy for well-being?
Yes. So I said briefly, because sometimes it takes, know, those few weeks to
put it. I'm with you. Completely agree. Yes.
But no, definitely I can pinpoint that to use a strategic model. And there are many strategic models. Mm-hmm. We have our own one that we have developed, but there are so many good out there. Mm-hmm. And all strategic models basically go on the same level, which is to identify where we want to go. So what is the vision, or what is the goal? And, you know, break it down into smaller goals. What is the current situation? But really, what is the situation? What questions should we ask? What are our blind spots? And then the entire strategy or the process would be to bridge from A to B, from the current situation into the vision and goals. And the strategy itself is basically to start brainstorming actions and to prioritize them and to understand what will bring us the biggest impact, either in the short term or in the long run. It doesn't matter, because we build them both. And that's a strategy. That's the process in a nutshell.
Okay. And without giving names, could you give me one or two examples of the kind of burnout cases or matters you've handled?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There are names in my book. So you can actually open the book and find the names. So people actually, and that was very generous, they shared openly with their names, their stories. But yeah, we've heard so many. There's one story that I probably remember for the rest of my life. It's been more than 5 years since I interviewed James from Melbourne, Australia, and it's in the book, his story. And the reason the story is so powerful, because James told me, he's a sustainability practitioner, environmentalist. He told me, every time I saw wrongdoing, I started thinking, I'm not doing enough on time to save planet Earth. But then, he told me, then I started feeling I am not enough. So it's not I'm not doing enough, I am not enough. And once James felt that, he almost got burnt out and then felt this burnout because it was attached to his own identity. And when we accidentally perceive ourselves as the failure, that's a very harmful place to be. And of course it leads to burnout. So, and I've heard a few more other stories like that, those feelings of guilt, and those are the cycles that we want to break, just to identify the problem before it happens and to rebuild our way of working and living, basically.
Okay. And you know, you did talk about the pandemic and the impact it's had on the burnout. What kind of cases have you seen in the pandemic which has resulted in burnout?
So there were a few stages to that. At the beginning, it was people struggling to balance it all. How do I work from home? How do I work remotely when my children are here and I need to do this and that and meet the expectations? That was the first stage, especially with big lockdowns and everything. Afterwards, the new challenges, and we see it until now, is the hybrid work model. And why is that? Because people want to work hybrid. They want to combine. They say they want to do it. But sometimes organizations, even though they allow it, are not prepared for that. And people find themselves disengaged. So they sit at home, they try to work, but they're not sure what are they missing at work. So should I go now to the office or not? So we start to get stressed about this. Or I haven't communicated with my manager for over a week now. Yes, we communicated on a professional basis, but nothing more than that. So many cases that we see is a peak in stress levels.
Okay.
Because of the new model that people really want to do, but they're really not prepared to deal with this uncertainty. And numbers show over 70% of people stress and disengage while working remotely.
Amazing. So, you know, when I was reading about you, Davida, you talk about the burnout cycle that we need to break. Help me understand what needs to be done here.
There are a few cycles here. One would be the individual, and the other one would be the organizational, and probably there's the broader one, which is the social. And they are all talking about norms and expectations that we either put on ourselves or society, organization has put on us. Breaking the cycle would be to question what we are doing now. Do we really need to measure our productivity with hours that we are working? Maybe that's not correct. Maybe that's not a good way to measure productivity, right? Should we feel guilty about taking a break or a day off, or there's a better and new improved model to do this? So to break the burnout cycle, either individually or within an organization or in society, would be to question everything that we know, or almost everything. Because what has worked before is not necessarily true to where we are now. This is not the industrial area anymore for many, many years, but sometimes routines still mimic that old time, old paradigm. So to break up the cycle would be to break the cycle, would be to change the way we used to do things and to question that.
Very interesting. One more question before I move to your book. And that's that, how does one build emotional resilience?
Through trial and error and life experiences. But that's not very helpful, right?
I know. I was going to ask you a follow-up question.
I know, that's not, I mean, this is the truth in a way that we will always be, or usually will be, more resilient the more we go through. But there is a way actually to build some more resilience. We first need to define resilience, which is the ability to bounce back after setbacks and uncertainties and hardship. Ability to bounce back. So this is not about we will never encounter challenges. Of course we will, and setbacks and everything, but are we able to recover quickly and healthily and so on? So if I'm putting aside life experience, which is important, but sometimes you can't control that, right? The way to build resilience is to deliberately immerse ourselves into challenges. So not to give up in a way that, oh, I don't want to deal with that, this is too painful or too challenging, but how can I deal with that in a healthier way? And to set ourselves for those challenging situations and become more mentally prepared. So for example, if I can visualize my day, what am I going to work on today? All right, so there is an interaction waiting for me there that might be uncomfortable. Maybe I need to give feedback to my employee, right? So if I'm getting there unprepared, that's a setback that will make us both feel really bad. That's not building resilience, or definitely not in a way that we prepare ourselves.
Okay.
But if I'm visualizing what might happen, I can come more prepared for that. Or another way is to look back to other experiences, similar experiences, and think, so what did go well, and what can I learn from that to the future? So yes, resilience is trial and error, but it's also about the ability to prepare ourselves mentally to meet those different roadblocks and to say that that's okay. We will make mistakes. We will fail. Our ego might be a little, you know, knocked down, but that's part of life, and that's okay.
Very well said. Very well said. So I'm now going to move to your book, Devida, and I always have a lot of respect for people who are authors. I've got, you know, we're going to talk about your book, Burning Out Won't Get You There. Before I ask you about your book, is this available on Amazon and other platforms?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes, available on Amazon.
Wonderful. So tell me about your book, your hypothesis, and what made you write it?
Yeah, what made me write it was a phone call with a friend.
Okay.
We're sitting across our two screens. It was a Skype call, a colleague and a friend from Sweden. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about our profession. We helped leaders and change makers and our colleagues. And we said, oh, wow, there are so many people in our field of practice who get burnt out and, you know, stressed out and burn out. And then came this irony that I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation. Why can't we take care of ourselves while taking care of others? Mm. And we concluded the conversation, that phone call, with the sentence, well, we don't need to suffer in order to reduce world suffering. Mm. Okay, this is interesting. This is a title for something, maybe an article, I don't know. Yeah. Mm. But the more I interviewed people, the more I realized that this is a huge topic, cross-cultural, cross-sectoral, and that's how the book was basically written, born and written.
Wonderful, wonderful. Devida, wish you all success for the book. Burning Out Won't Get You There. And on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about burnout, about some of the challenges people face with burnouts. Thank you for talking about how to really identify a burnout, you know, or someone, if any one of us or our colleagues is being too tired or has got a reduction in her or his productivity or is becoming too negative or cynical. According to our burnout guru, Devida, she is telling us to be careful, to be aware. And also the message that I have got is that if it does happen, it's normal. It's nothing to panic about. And there are answers available.
Yes. Yeah. And always to be reaching out for support. This is not a weakness. This is strength to go and reach out for support.
Correct. Correct. And finally, you said that we must all figure out a way to build a network of people so that we have emotional resilience.
Part of it, yes, definitely.
Thank you. Devida, thank you again for speaking to me. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.